Welcome to the Fertility Stories podcast. This is your host, Mary Sauden, naturopath and fertility coach. I help women go from frustrated, overwhelmed, and isolated to calm, confident, and in control of their fertility. I'm passionate about helping women get pregnant and stay pregnant. Each week, I have a real and empowering conversation with everyday women and men struggling with fertility to bring you hope, comfort, and support. This is our story. Welcome to the Fertility Stories podcast. My guest today is Bella Hilton. Bella is a mind-body fertility coach from Australia and the host of the Studio Fertility podcast. She's also an NLP practitioner and hypnotherapist who focuses mainly on unexplained infertility. Welcome to the podcast, Bella.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here, actually.
Wonderful. Can you tell us about yourself?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you about myself. Okay, so yeah, Bella Hilton, like you said, like you said, you did such a fantastic intro. I'm a mind-body fertility coach, NLP practitioner, and hypnotherapist, which really just means that I have a lot of tools in my arsenal to really help women with the emotional and mindset of fertility, but it goes much deeper than that, which I'm sure we'll get into today. I'm a wife to a wonderful husband, and I always mention him. I often brag about my husband because he did not come about by accident. That was, I think, along with my fertility, that was a lot of healing of my own emotional work as well, finding a fantastic husband. And I am mother to a beautiful 6-year-old boy that was 11 years in the making.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. 11 years.
Which is why I do what I do, because I don't want anyone have to go that long without having their wonderful family. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Let's start with what happened in terms of your fertility journey.
So my fertility journey, well, it's a long one. So like I said, it was 11 years in the making. So let me try and shorten it a little bit. But I first started trying to conceive when I was 27 years old. So I had everything on my side, you know, age and all of those kind of things that people look at. And I tried for 7 years with my first husband. And in fact, in the first month of trying is when everything went pear-shaped. My very regular cycle disappeared. And I went to the doctor and I was like, I'm confused, you know, where is my period? And I really thought she was going to help me. But instead she was very insensitive. And this was in the US, actually. I was living in the US at the time. And she just said to me, well, there's only three reasons you lose your period. It's pregnancy, pregnancy, and pregnancy. And she's, you know, she was really smug about it too. And here I was, like, you know, kind of confused about my body and stressed about it, you know, because I'd been trying to conceive and I was really excited about this. And I knew I wasn't pregnant. You know, I'm sure I did a pregnancy test to check. And I felt like I was in touch with my body. So I was like, you know, I just feel like it's shut down. And here she is being cavalier about it. And I was really, really upset by it, actually. And then I, you know, she ate her words. And when she made me go and do a pregnancy test and it didn't come back positive and sent me on. But yeah, that was my first kind of foray into trying to get pregnant. And it kind of didn't get better from there. So I'd worked out is because my body is quite sensitive to losing weight, and I just lost a little bit of weight prior to starting. In the name of health, you know, I thought I'll lose weight, be a bit more healthy, and then that's why I had actually lost my period, and I had to work that out for myself, because none of my blood tests came back with anything that showed anything. No, by the time I went to see the endocrinologist, that is, none of the blood tests showed anything, because I could, by that stage, I could feel my body starting to cycle again, but I still wasn't getting my period. And then slowly my period came back and it was light, you know, and but I had a short luteal phase and whatever. So I had to then spend a good 6-8 months, you know, building all that back up again, keeping my weight stable and building my cycle back up. So, you know, and so then, you know, I was able to try again, and a few short months after that, I lost my period again. And this time I was like, okay, I didn't go to the doctors and things like this. I thought I'll work it out for myself. And, and like, I don't know how I knew these things, but intuitively, like I feel like I'm, maybe it's too much exercise. Again, I feel like my body's sensitive. Now, I wasn't, in my book, over-exercising. I was doing an hour of exercise every day. For a lot of people, this would probably be okay. For me, it wasn't. Okay. And so I knew I had a trip coming up. They were going to Europe for a couple of weeks, and I thought, well, I can't really do exercise while I'm, you know, traveling around and staying in hotels. And, you know, I mean, you can do a bit and you're walking around and stuff, but it's like, you know, I won't be doing my usual exercise. We'll see what happens. And 2 weeks later, yeah, I got my period. So, so I learned that my body was very sensitive. And so I then just cut it back to 5 days of exercise. And then, you know, my period came back, but then of course I had to kind of build it back up again with the luteal phase and all of that. So my first year or so of trying to get pregnant was an absolute disaster, you know, and it really didn't set me up mentally for, you know, the journey. And I tried for 7 years with my first husband. Before, I just really needed to, and I tried everything. I did the acupuncture, I did the naturopath, I did, you know, herbs and supplements and all, you know, diets and you name it. I tried everything, basal body temperature, you know, tracking and all of that good stuff. And just nothing ever worked. And, you know, I heard, I don't know, or this usually works or whatever, so many times that it was really starting to get disheartening for me. But anyway, there came a point where I needed to really leave that relationship. It wasn't a good relationship because, you know, I was actually, you know, I was actually in a state of stress all the time, actually, during that time, because the relationship itself just wasn't strong and had nothing to do with fertility. It just wasn't a great relationship. So I needed to leave that one. So I really had to shelve my baby plans, and and that, you know, put me into a whole new area. Like, I was 34, leaving this relationship, so ready to be a wife and a mother. You know, those plans that I'd you know, made in my head, planned out my future, and here I was, 34, and, you know, on my sister's, you know, lounge room floor, alone and with no possibility of having a baby. And, you know, everyone at that stage, and what I really bought into at that stage, of like fertility, you know, is horrible after 35. So I really felt like I was pushing mud uphill with a stick already. So I really, you know, just saw no opportunity, no hope left for me for the future. And, you know, my sister had her 8-month-old baby, and she'd chuck her on me in the mornings, and I developed a really strong bond with my niece at that time, and still really important to me. Those photos are still like some of my favorite ones. I sent one to her the other day, actually, going, I love this photo, where I taught her the art of the selfie. She was But, you know, and then I went on for the next couple of years. So, you know, while I say 11 years, it wasn't 11 years trying every month back to back. I think I would have gone absolutely nuts. But the next couple of years, it was about, you know, dating, and that really was, did not go well at all until I kind of hit rock bottom with everything. And I was like, you know what, you know, want to have this relationship, and I want to have this family, and, but if I continue to chase this, I'm just not living my life the way I need to live my life. And my life needs to be about me. And so I just stopped chasing everything. And I took a moment to grieve relationships. And I really took a moment to grieve like what I thought at that stage was never going to be able to have a baby. Like,
wow.
I thought if, you know, relationships aren't going well and I can't find one of those, I don't want to do motherhood alone. That's just a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
Hats off to women who do that because I think they're amazing. I thought, well, I'm never going to have a baby then, so I'm going to have to grieve that if I want to have a good life and
right.
you know, get back on top of this. So I took a really good month and I did a whole lot of processes I knew how to do because I'd trained in life coaching and NLP and hypnotherapy. And I thought, you know, I need to be my own advocate here.
Right.
And, you know, it helped me get out of, you know, bad relationships and stuff. But I'm like, now I really need to heal fundamentally. And so I took the time to do that. And then, of course, 4 months later, when I'm having a ball and having a great life, I really just was having such an amazing time. I can't even tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And along came Mr. Amazing. I was like, and you know, so that's why I say I brag about him because he didn't happen by accident into my life. I got right with myself and then I attracted a quality person without even trying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And I think so much comes from healing ourselves to what actually then happens in our lives and comes into our lives. So I'm so grateful for him. And guess what? He walks in and he's like, you know, very early on, I was, you know, 36 and was certainly not going to push the issue because I'd heard that, you know, saying I want babies to men at that stage was like a red flag and they'd run a mile. So I didn't want him to run a mile. He was pushing the agenda. He's like, I want a family. I think we should start trying soon. I was like, amazing. So then my whole dreams and hopes, you know, were like, wow, maybe I can have it all. This is crazy.
Yes.
But at the same time, I was like, I can't go back to how I approached my fertility the first time. Mm-hmm. I can't do that again. There's just so much heartache and misery and trying to be a you know, the detective and trying everything and exhausting your bank account. I was like, I can't do that. You know, I've got to continue the lessons that I've already learned from hitting rock bottom and healing myself and trying to do this differently. So I just kind of focused on being passionate about my life and following my heart and I just refused to accept that no matter what happened, that I couldn't live an amazing life. I was like, surely there are women out there who've lived amazing, meaningful lives that, you know, that haven't had children.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't stop me having that deep desire, you know, having grieved, never having children and you know, not knowing whether I could have a child with this amazing man, never stopped that deep desire for a child. But I didn't want it to define me and my happiness and what my life could be about. And yeah, I just, you know, so I had to, you know, go down that path. So then I focused on just being super happy and just living an amazing life. And I was having such a great time with this wonderful guy. We were doing some absolutely crazy things. You know, we'd have these date nights where it was like started to be a game of one-upmanship, right? And, you know, at one stage I had him in a park on some trapeze night, like learning to trapeze, and he was hanging by one leg, and you know, like,
that's exciting.
We really did like have a lot of fun, and I was having this great life, and it included, you know, I was being healthy, but at the same time, I was still going out and having one too many boozy nights with friends, you know. But I was having so much fun, and I felt like my emotional and mental health was so much more important for my overall health. So that's how I approached it. I didn't, I kind of threw out the fertility handbook at that point. Mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't do any supplements. I didn't see a naturopath. I didn't do acupuncture. I didn't do any of that. I was just focusing on following my heart and my passions. Like, where is my career taking me and what's speaking to me? How am I creating a meaningful life? How am I having fun and things like that while remaining healthy? Like, I was exercising and eating healthily as well for mm-hmm. the most part. So I had that balance in my life, but finding that joy for me. And then following what I felt like was the right next step for me. And for me, that was IVF. Mm-hmm. So something I hadn't tried before. So I went and tried IVF. And I think that I was really open to the possibility of what was going to happen. You know, like, I didn't have that, this has to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. Like, I really thought, you know, I'd heard too many stories of like, oh, it takes 2 to 3 times or it never happens on the first go. Right. So I never really had those expectations. I was like, okay, I'm going to find out. And it's an expensive exercise to do this, but I was kind of like, you know, what else can I do? Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out more about my body. You know, does the sperm and the egg actually meet? Is that where it falls over? I don't know, because it happens inside my body, so I can't see anything. Is it, you know, do they not make it to day 5? Is it not implanting? So I really treated it as like, I'm going to find out more about what happens.
Yes.
And we really did it together. I think that was key. Like, he was at every appointment. He came to a blood test. Like, if I had a blood test, he was there. If I had an ultrasound, he was there. Yeah. Like, this was our... It wasn't the traditional, like, you know, two people go to bed, you know, after a bottle of wine kind of thing.
Right.
But we were both really in it together. And that was really amazing and really supportive. And I'd look around those clinics and see all these women, like, very upset, very in their misery, all alone. I thought, wow, I am so lucky. And, you know, had many things going against me. I'd been exercising probably, I didn't think too much because my cycles were still regular, but I had really high FSH reading, like 19, you know, and things like that. So I had things going against me with a cycle. I got four eggs. They all fertilized, which was amazing. We got one to put back and one frozen. And that ended up being my beautiful baby boy.
Amazing. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And now I did many other things. I think the other thing that I did in preparation for my IVF, though, that I didn't talk about was while I was leading this passionate life, I always, Mary, it was like this strange little voice in my head that always, like, because I'm very intuitive, and it would just always say to me, you know, there's something protecting you. Your body is protecting you from getting pregnant. Now, when I was going through my first marriage, I thought that was just like, maybe it's just protecting me from him. And do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But now I was with Mr. Amazing and, you know, my body was still protecting me. And I was like, what is this all about? So I really did dig deep down into my unconscious with like all the tools that I'm, you know, that I've studied and learned and things like that, and really cleaned up a lot of residual stuff. With some of them, like, I would work out what the issue was, and then I had other friends who had also trained in NLP, and we'd do like barter, you know, one-for-one sessions with each other to help clear up stuff. So I really like reached out to friends and said, this is the issue. Can you help me with this to clear this up so that I could actually be the patient in that regard and, you know, not patient, the client in that regard, and actually give myself over to it so I could have that outside perspective from someone else as well. Because these were my blind spots, you know, these deep fears, these conflicts that I was having, these were my blind spots. And so having that outside person to facilitate like the, you know, the techniques that we went through enabled me to, you know, break out of that blind spot because I had someone else, you know, shining the mirror on those things as well.
Exactly. I love that you led a passionate life in spite of everything that's happening, since a lot of women are very caught up in what's going on with infertility, and it's just the number one focus of most women's lives, especially if they're going through IUI, IVF. It's like mostly just fertility. And I love that you still enjoyed your life and did so many things that were enjoyable for both you and your husband. And you didn't just make it all about like fertility. I love that.
I don't think I made it anything about fertility.
Exactly.
I mean, I did, obviously, because this is something that we both wanted. And, you know, there was no rule book on also on how our baby would come to us. Like, right. yes, of course, we would love to try naturally and do that. There's always that dream, I think, in everyone to have their own biological child. It's just instinct, right? It's just biological. But, you know, he was adopted himself. So he was very open to how we might build our family as well. Mm. So knowing that he didn't worry about the fact that, you know, I'd already proved for 7 years that I couldn't do this. That was not a barrier to him at all about starting a family.
Mm, wonderful. That's amazing that you're able to find such a great supportive partner, especially.
You can see why I brag about him now.
Yeah, exactly. Because usually infertility, it makes breaks couples.
Oh, no, like we're always in it together. It's like on our transfer night, it was date night because we had a set date night every second week.
Mm, good.
And that one of us had to organize it. So we only had to organize one a month. So it made it easier, especially when we were in our one-upmanship. But transfer day fell on date night. Oh, wow. I really wanted to pull out of it. I was like, oh, you know, I just had my transfer. And, he helped me keep perspective. He goes, no, nothing gets in the way of date night. Mm. I was like, no, you're right. I can't stop my life for this.
Right.
Life, you know, this is life. And so we, you know, and oh my gosh, it was amazing. We went out on a date. We had the most random, funny night, you know, I didn't drink and things like that.
Right.
But we had a great time. And I think that's, you know, so important, especially when you're entering a 2-week wait to kind of keep your sanity.
Exactly. That's very relaxing. De-stress. Yeah. Mm. What is NLP? I know you mentioned that a while ago. So can you tell us what is NLP and how it can help with fertility?
Yeah, look, NLP is one of those things people either know or they don't.
Right.
It stands for neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible name. But it's about how our body and our minds work together. It's about how we communicate with ourselves and the world around us. So, and it allows me, with the tools that I have and the understanding of that, to do really deep mindset work and unconscious work with people to really clear up issues and things like that. So how it helps with fertility is that, you know, we can help to eliminate triggers. You know, people are being triggered by pregnancy announcements or pregnant bellies or things like that. Right. We can really look into that, how that comes about, how that emotion comes about for them, work out what's the important ingredients and change that, change their perspective, reframe it. Like there's just so many, it's just a toolbox, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a toolbox to allow me to do these things a lot faster than you know, we can't conscious our way through these things. We don't consciously have emotions. We unconsciously have emotions. So that's where I work at that level, to eliminate triggers, to calm down your nervous system. You know, a lot of people, you know, you're talking about stress and things like that.
Yes.
And stress is, I think, fundamentally misunderstood. Stress is not like just a deadline at work. That can be stressful, but that's cyclical. Mm-hmm. What I find is that a lot of people are in that fight or flight mode constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bit that's keeping you on high alert. That's the bit that's pushing your brain into high beta waves, which means your brain isn't firing off correctly. It's not talking to each other. It's not cohesive. So then you get into these, you know, you're in fight or flight when you get a bit hysterical and you can't think properly, or you go into the doctor's office ready to ask all these questions and then you can't think, right? Because your brain isn't working cohesively because you're in that fight or flight mode. Your body doesn't think it's safe. So learning to calm down your nervous system, calm down your brain, get it working cohesively, getting it working with your body, you know, allows us to do that. It allows us to heal a lot of the, you know, past traumas and things like that that people might have experienced on their fertility journey, or things that are impacting their fertility journey. So we do a lot of that work. And just so much more. Like I've been fascinated by psychology and what makes us tick since like high school. I've just always loved it. I've always studied this kind of stuff. I made it more formal. And then when I had like the opportunity, and like, because I said, I just always was following my passions and I didn't always know what my passion was. I was just like, I want to do something with online. I don't know what it is yet. Like, I would really keep it that broad at first. I don't know what it is. And so I tried a few things online that just didn't work. But when I saw this opportunity to combine my passion for helping women to conceive, because I'd been stuck in it for so many years, and psychology, I jumped at the chance. I really jumped at it because I so love helping people not only cope with the journey, rebuild their lives and find themselves again, but also because I know that it dramatically impacts their fertility.
Yes.
And a lot of my clients, you know, are testament to the results of that. So it's amazing.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. It sounds like a good tool in anyone's toolbox or anyone going through fertility issues. What are some of the unconscious conflicts that can hold women back from conceiving?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting area of research in unexplained infertility. And dare I say, even those with sometimes diagnosable things too that make having a baby harder, like PCOS, because I have had clients in that realm as well. So I don't think it's exclusive from the work that I've done, but the research is in unexplained infertility. So the studies have shown that women with unexplained infertility often have what they call a deep unconscious psychological conflict about becoming a parent, which is just a mouthful, right? Let's dumb it down. That's just to say they really want to be a parent, like, you know, all their heart, you know, they're just like, this is what I want. But something within their unconscious, within their body, makes it feel like it isn't safe, right? Basically, it's deep fears that protect the body from conceiving. And they aren't always obvious. Mine weren't obvious. Some of my clients, you know, are not obvious. I'm very good at pinpointing them, though, when I talk to people. But our body needs to feel safe, right, to get pregnant. Because if our bodies don't feel safe, then they'll think we're in survival mode. And reproduction is not prioritized by the body when we're in survival mode. But that safety can look different for everyone. And you know what? It doesn't mean you have to have all your ducks in a row. It's a crazy thing. Sometimes just resolving that one thing, you could still, you know, have all these other things that you haven't resolved. But that is the thing that allows you to fall pregnant. So in the research and from my experience, the some of these things, and it's not exclusive because I'll give you some examples afterwards, is past traumas that can be miscarriages that you've found difficult. It can be abortion that, you know, maybe you felt guilty about, or it can be abuse that's happened in your life. Sexual abuse, things like that, but also, you know, bullying at school, or any, you know, major accidents that have happened in life. So any of those kind of, and they can be big traumas or little traumas that have just kind of snowballed into one big trauma, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It can be like a fear of pregnancy or giving birth or hospitals. And I'm talking about like a real fear. And sometimes it's not obvious you have this deep fear, but, you know, we tease it out of people of like how, you know, because some people might go, oh, yeah, you know, they've seen the shows about getting pregnant and giving birth. And they go, oh, gosh, you know, I have to do what? Push a watermelon out of like, you know, a small hole. And, you know, I don't think it's any of our favorite thing to think about when we see these shows.
Mm-hmm.
But for some of us, it really deeply affects us. Right. And some of us, it doesn't, right? So we work out the degree to which these things are holding you back. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you were to put it on a scale, if it was 1, it's not the thing holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is something that we uncover and it's more like a 10, then those are the things that we need to look at. Mm-hmm. So it can also be fears about balancing your career or business and family. Right.
Yes.
That can be a massive concern for some people. It can be a loss of self or individuality.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a conflict with your values. I find a lot of women who value freedom really highly,
mm-hmm.
and babies don't equal freedom.
Right. That's for sure.
Like, the unconscious mind is such a fascinating place. Now, for me, I had some conflicts. My own story was, I had had a very Catholic upbringing,
mm-hmm.
and I'd had the very much the fire and brimstone, you don't have sex before marriage, and teenage pregnancy, well, your life was over, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I grew up terrified, and I'm talking terrified of getting pregnant, and I thought people would think I was a slut even before I was having sex, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it really clouded my world,
right?
And so then when I did, you know, become sexually active, like, I was just so careful about everything, and I was really trying to avoid pregnancy because it would just had been drilled into me so much.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of shame.
The shame and things like that. So, and the guilt that sometimes just like because you've lived that way for so long, you push it down and you don't realize it's there. You don't realize it's still impacting you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are subtle clues where it's still coming up. And when I sat down with myself and thought, okay, what's going on? Like, this is the last place I've got to look. I've tried everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Let's clean this up. Let's listen to this nagging voice in my head. This is what came up for me. And I cleared that up for myself because my body had been hearing, don't get pregnant. You know, my mind was, I was kind of like, don't get pregnant when you're 16, but my body was like, don't get pregnant.
Ever.
Right. Yeah. And there's just so many, like, I had a client who used to be bullied at school, and in talking to her, she's like, yeah, I really thought hard about whether to have a baby or not because of that experience.
Wow.
Right? That was enough to stop her from conceiving.
Mm-hmm.
I had another client who, like, oh, this is one of those things because I work with clients and, you know, we heal a lot of what's going on and we work out, you know, what's going to get them more enjoyment from life and we really rebuild their lives up. I've had clients say to me, like, even before they're pregnant, saying my life is so much better now than it was before when I thought I was myself, you know, and this is before they get pregnant. So that's, you know, a testament to me, like, hey, this is great. And then they go on to get pregnant as well. So, you know, they get everything, which is amazing. But I had this one client and she was just like, Miss Optimism, and she just was doing everything right, and I was scratching my head. I was like, okay, I'm throwing everything at this. And then something came up in a visualization for her, and I just knew that she'd been really close to her dad and he'd passed away. And then we worked out that she'd had a bit of a scare when she was younger around getting pregnant with a guy that, you know, in her 20s that she didn't want to be pregnant too.
Right.
And her dad had been really supportive, like an amazing dad. And he'd come with her to the appointment and all of that. And she discovered that she wasn't pregnant. So okay. There was relief around that. But her dad turned around in that moment and said to her, "Lucky." And she took that on board.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks after we cleared that up, she was pregnant.
Wow. I mean,
yes. Like, this is how powerful the unconscious mind can be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know that people kind of look at your mental health and your emotional health last, but I really wish this was something that people would really value more highly,
mm-hmm.
because it can be so much more than that as well. But who wants to be miserable all the time?
Right.
Either, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't good enough for me, and I drew the line in the sand and went, I'm not going to be live this miserable life. My life is going to mean something whether or not I have this family.
Exactly.
That was such a hard thing to do and such a hard thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I couldn't live in misery any longer. And
mm-hmm.
and I know that it's, and I know so many women who are like very miserable. And
right.
I mean, that's why I do what I do, so we can actually get them to a place where no matter what happens,
mm-hmm.
that they are having this amazing, meaningful life.
Exactly.
And then a lot of the time it actually, well, I know that it dramatically improves their fertility regardless, because I've seen it, you know, we work on, you know, even a month before, we work on, you know, 3 sessions. I've seen it. They then go and do IVF and, you know, might get pregnant for the first time.
Right.
Maybe that cycle lasts or not, like that pregnancy lasts or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I already see the improvements really quickly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, but like you say, like with, because you're a naturopath, when
right.
like these things don't happen overnight.
No.
A month is great, but you know, 2-3 months of working on those things and really clearing up everything,
that'll
does
be
so
ideal.
Much more.
Right. That is so fascinating though about the unconscious mind. And definitely a lot of people focus a lot on physical health, but they should also focus on mental health, mental emotional health. It's so important in any fertility journey.
Right. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I think physical health is really mm-hmm. important. You don't want to be going to McDonald's every day.
Yeah.
You know, and consuming all of those things and mm-hmm. thinking, yeah, no worries.
Exactly.
But at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of the women who come to me have focused so much on the physical already. Mm-hmm. So I know that they're fairly solid in that regard.
Right.
Sometimes I have to help them find balance too
exactly.
within that.
That's important.
Because, you know, maybe they just desperately want a glass of champagne, but they mm-hmm. haven't allowed themselves to have one in so long
mm-hmm.
that it's actually a source of stress.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. I find
so
that too.
It's yeah. like sometimes their homework is go and have that champagne. Mm-hmm. Find some balance for yourself yes. where it's not all or nothing. You know, mm-hmm. your body doesn't have to be perfectly physically healthy.
Yes.
To conceive.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I've seen so many times the emotional and the mindset work override, you know, some of the mm-hmm. physical health, because you don't need to be 100% in everything, right?
Right.
80-20 rule, you know, often mm-hmm. applies.
Yes. Totally. Mm. Yeah. I totally agree with that. Yeah. It's very important to also address the mental and emotional aspect. That's for sure. How can a woman be okay whether or not they do decide to have a baby or not? And I love how you're able to come to terms with early on in your fertility journey with the fact that you may or may not get pregnant. How will you help other women like reach that same point to have a meaningful life whether or not they get pregnant or not?
I think this is really different for everyone. We need to be able to trust ourselves that we will be okay. But mm-hmm. many women don't, they can't see the other side of it, right? They have no experience or no reference to being okay without a baby. All they have is reference to not being okay without a baby. And so they don't trust that they could be okay. So part of the work that I do is about, you know, building their lives back up to be something enjoyable again. This then gives them reference to how life could be okay,
mm-hmm.
right? Because all we've got is this projected image in our minds of what you want life to look like, right? Mm-hmm. Suffering comes in when the image in your mind doesn't match what's happening in reality. That's where we suffer. So sometimes we have to work about, you know, removing those images to be actually be in the now. Because I think embracing where we are at now, whether it's your age, your condition, whatever, and that's not to say you accept it and it's always going to be this way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to accept your age, but there's right. power in embracing it, right? And mm-hmm. taking the power back rather than something that you fear. When you push things away, you create stress. Mm-hmm. When you embrace them and use them as powerful tools, like for age, for example, if you're resisting your age, then that's just going to be a source of stress. But if you embrace it and go, you know what? You know what's better about this age and getting pregnant? Well, I've got, you know, I've got my house and I'm financially stable and I've mm-hmm. got the partner that I always dreamed of. And actually being this age is a really powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It helps women take their power back. But getting back to the question, how do you, you know, be okay with whether you have a baby or not?
Right.
Like I said, it's very individual because you have to look at the individual and where they're falling apart and where they're suffering, and everyone is different in that. For me, it was a decision. I'd had enough of being miserable, right? I was sitting in my hole of despair and I was like, I cannot live like this for the rest of my life. But it took me a long time to hit rock bottom. And I'd had a slew of other problems before this one. You know, my marriage was terrible, but I'd also, misery had been my friend for a really long time, probably since, mm-hmm. you know, my mid-teens for so many reasons that I won't mm-hmm. go into. But I was like, I refuse to accept, you know, at this point that my life is meaningless.
Right.
I cannot live my life how I've been living it since I was 15 any longer. This was a good, you know, 20 years of being, you know, feeling pretty miserable. So, you know, the fertility journey had added to that, but, you know, I was like, I can't do it. I'm worth more than that. I had to find my own self-worth. And I think that's where it starts. Like so many people have lost their self-worth. Mm-hmm. So many people have lost perspective of what their life is all about. You know, were they happy in their 20s without a baby? Then they can be happy in their 40s without one too. It's like we've got to find what it is for them that helps them realize they will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look, most of the time they don't have to, you know, right. go down that path. But it really does help to know that you will be okay.
Yeah.
That your life and you are so much more
mm-hmm.
than that. There was there's this great Robert Diltz is his name. He's an NLP practitioner as well, and he always says, you know, with belief and things like that, you know, first you need to know that it's possible, mm-hmm. right? That something is possible in the world. So it's possible for women to have a baby in their 40s, right? Then right. you need to know that it's possible for you. And so really believing that and getting into your body, yes, it's possible for me to have a baby mm-hmm. in my 40s. And then you need to know you're worthy of it, right?
Mm.
So I'm worthy of having a baby in my 40s. But I like to go a step further than that and always say, I'm worthy of having a baby in my 40s, whether or not it happens.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's really powerful place yes. to be, and you know, through the work that I do, we find the different avenues to work out how women can feel that and feel really empowered. Because when you feel really empowered and when you live in that place, you approach your fertility journey so much differently too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have joy within you, which just naturally increases your fertility because it's got to affect your body.
Right.
But you ask better questions. Exactly. You know, you advocate for yourself more. You, when you're feeling happy, you will, you know, exercise the way you're meant to, or you will be able to follow a, you know, the diet that you don't necessarily want to a bit better and things like that. You know, mindset and emotions has so much to do with how we live our lives and the results that we get, because it helps us set up healthy habits. Right. Let alone the, you know, digging down into the unconscious and finding what might actually, you know, be in conflict.
Mm-hmm. That is so key. That's so important for sure for any fertility journey. And right now, moving to a different like topic, what are the top things that you do still consistently for your health?
What do I do consistently? I'm actually struggle to answer that. Because I do, you know, I think I find balance in my life. I think that's mm-hmm. one thing that I try and do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't always get it right. Like, you know, sometimes I go too far to the left and then have to come too far back to the right before right. I find my balance with things. I think that what I don't do, though, is judge myself for it. It's like, okay, I'm finding my path with things whenever I try something new or whatever. But, you know, I always eat fairly healthily. I've never been a really big unhealthy eater. Mm-hmm. I do have to say ice cream is my weakness. but on the most part, you know, I've always had my meat and three veg, you know, and things like that.
Perfect.
And I know that I feel better that way, and it actually supports my mental health. Like your body is not separate from your mind, and if you're putting better fuel in it, your mind feels better. But if you're only if you're restricting things from your life to the detriment of yourself, that doesn't feel good, and that doesn't support your mindset. So finding balance even within my diet has always been important. I try to exercise, but to be honest, I haven't been great at that lately. Just because I've been super busy. But I think, to be perfectly honest, I think I do focus on my mental and emotional health more than anything else. Because, like I said, if I am these two things and I eat more healthily and I do exercise more and I do give myself me time and I have a better perspective on the world, and and probably the only other thing I try and do for my health consistently is I try and buy only makeup without toxins.
Yes.
I think once I learned about that, you know, it's like once I learn about things, you know, learn about the toxins in things or whatever, if we know about it, then I try and do better. But I don't always do it. Again, I find that's balance, because if I'm obsessive about something, that doesn't support me. Right? If I'm going, oh, I can't have this glass of water, or I can't drink this water because it's in a plastic bottle. Well, I've got to try and work out what's more important, the plastic bottle or the water. Most of the time it's water.
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, I try and do my best where I can, but I'm not obsessive about it, because I just try and, find that balance.
I think that's so important to have that balance. That's key. And it's a very healthy way of approaching your physical well-being, because lots of people are very militant about their physical health.
I've been militant. I've you know, done something, you know, by the letter, textbook, food diaries, you know, you name it, for 6 months, no alcohol. Like I've done it, and it just didn't serve me. It didn't set me up for success, and it didn't work. So I tried something else, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I love how you're very in touch with your body, and you're intuitive that way, and you listen to your body, which is also important.
Yeah. I mean, I try to, you know, I think that we've all been given this amazing gift if we mm-hmm. stop long enough to actually listen to ourselves. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we get so busy though. And it can be uncomfortable. It can be awkward, you know, to listen to what your unconscious mind is trying to tell mm-hmm. you. It's like, oh, yeah. My emotions and stuff. I'd rather just right. stuff them down.
yeah, that's the easier way to do things.
But... exactly. It's much easier to go to the doctor and get a pill.
Right. You
know? Yeah, much exactly. easier. But the mindset work actually sets you up for greater success. So, mm-hmm. And it feels so much better when you get to the other side.
Right. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly to that. What is your message to women out there struggling with infertility?
My message is don't, as in don't struggle, right?
Yeah.
Don't do it alone. There's so many things that you can do for yourself and set your team up right. You know, don't think of your mental and emotional health as secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's primary. Mind-body programs have been proven to dramatically improve fertility many times over, like dramatically. You know, I can throw out the stats, but it's like, you know, and I see it every day. every day with the clients that I work with, because not only does it actually get them back to enjoying themselves, which I just think is so important.
Right.
But it also improves their fertility. So I think it's don't struggle, because there are people out there who can actually help you to start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, even just, you know, and help you remove some of that struggle. I think it's to build that team for yourself that's really going to support you and drive you forward. It's to listen to your body and advocate for yourself, no matter how crazy it seems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been to fertility specialists before and said, look, I know this flies in the face of what you think, but this is what my intuition is telling me. Mm-hmm. Let's start from there and see where we go. And like they're quite, even though they have their training or whatever, they can be really quite receptive to it when you are advocating for yourself. So don't struggle, seek someone who can help you get to the other side, so you can approach your fertility journey differently and honestly dramatically improve your fertility.
Perfect. That's a great message for anyone out there who is struggling with fertility. Don't struggle. Get a team behind you.
There's so much you can do. Go and seek that help that is out there, honestly.
Yeah. How can people reach you?
Well, so many ways. I've got my website, obviously, at studiofertility.com. That's my business, Studio Fertility. I have a podcast, which I called Studio Fertility. So that's pretty easy to find as well. And that's, you know, on all Spotify and Apple iTunes and things like that, or at my website at studiofertility.com/podcast. I'm on Instagram giving out, trying to be funny on reels sometimes. I try. It doesn't always hit the mark, but, you know, I think I'm funny. So, but, you know, with lots of advice and, you know, it's a really great community, so you don't feel so alone, and that's at Studio Fertility. And you can find these, any of those ways to work with me directly, or just get access to one of my free resources, which I put out there to really help people that, you know, maybe don't have the funds or whatever, but I've just done one recently that's called Fertility Mojo Makeover, 3 ways to regain your mojo now, and surrender to the journey more without giving up. So that's a great read for anyone who wants that resource, and gives you some really great tips on how to get through your fertility journey a whole lot better.
Oh, perfect. We'll have all the links on the show notes so that anyone who wants to reach out and connect with Bella can do so by clicking the links on the show notes. So thank you so much, Bella, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I've had a really great time.
awesome was that? If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe, and I would love to receive a review from you. And let's keep this conversation going. What is your fertility journey like? How are you choosing to be compassionate with yourself? Subscribe to the Fertility Stories podcast. I've got a new episode coming your way next week. And until then, talk soon.